listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen in northern British Columbia here, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Welcome to the show. We are voted viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like what we're doing over here, if you can, reach into your pocket and throw a few bucks in the kitty. I know the operators of the stations would much appreciate any help they could get, even if it's a couple bucks. I'm sure somebody can, a few of you guys can spare a cup of coffee. So if you can help them out, we'd sure appreciate it. I do have Alex Newman joining me here in about 27 minutes from now. We did have Jug Force joining us here, and he is showing green on our Skype here, but we're having some technical issues get dug in right now, which is very, very unusual. And
he just popped in. He just popped in.
Jug Force just joined me right now, and we were just talking about the technical issues we were having about not being able to get Jug Force in. He just popped into the room. Welcome to the show, Jug. Welcome to the show, Jug. And Steve and me, we're going to carry on a conversation, but I'm glad you showed up. Nothing like showing up at the last second, bud.
sorry about that. I had to reboot the whole system. Skype was frozen. It wouldn't let me in.
Well, we saw you there, green, and we were trying to call you. And you know, you're not alone, Doug. Everybody's getting kind of messed around by Skype right now. It's to be expected with the ramp up on censorship we're seeing right now. They're making everything difficult. Even Facebook's making things extremely difficult for me, but I am getting away from Facebook, along with a pile of other people I know that are getting away from that medium. So maybe we can talk with numbers instead of talking in the courts, because they sure don't listen to anything we got to say. How are you doing, and what's your assessment about what's going on with the Great Reset, Doug?
Oh,
isn't that great? I heard about Trudeau talking about this week. It sounds great, man. None of us are going to have any debt. We're all going to be happy.
I was just reading. I was just reading this really good article by a gentleman that I've been trusted as a very good reporter over the years. His name is Alistair MacLeod, and he's a really very, very good writer. And so I'm just going to read you the first the first three paragraphs of this article. And the name of the article is the Global Reset Scam. And he starts by saying, this article takes a tilt at increasing speculation about the status global resets and why plans such as those promoted by the World Economic Forum will fail. Central digital currencies will simply run out of time. Instead, the collapse of the unbacked fiat currencies will end all supranational government solutions to their policy failures. Already, there is a mounting evidence of money beginning to flee bank accounts into stocks, commodities, and even Bitcoin. This is an early warning of a rapidly developing monetary collapse. He says, moreover, nothing can stop the collapse of fiat currencies. And with its schemes to control humanity for the convenience and ambitions of government planners, there can only be one status solution, and that is to mobilize gold reserves to back and save their currencies, which in order to succeed will have to be fully convertible into circulating gold coinage. It will also require the role of governments to be reset into a non-welfare, non-interventionist, minimalist role, which can only be achieved after a complete collapse of the current fiat finance system. Anything less will fail.
Interesting. Now, well, we know that's coming, Doug. We know that's coming.
Well, and Alistair MacLeod has been around for probably 30 years, and his predictions and his insight into what was happening in 2006, what would happen in 2008, he was spot on, absolutely nailed it. And he's been nailing it ever since. And he's, like I say, he's a wonderful writer. I got this particular article off of, what was it called? Zero Hedge this morning. And ladies and gentlemen, go to zerohedge.com, scroll down, and the article is there. And it's well worth the read. It's about 7-8 pages. But he goes into some pretty finite detail about just how they will fail in what they're doing. Because as people have said to me, Barry, oh, Doug, we're running out of time. We're running out of time. And I keep saying, no, you got that wrong. We're not running out of time. They are. And there is Alistair MacLeod's article that really articulates it in a beautiful way for people to understand.
So what do you think the effect on society is going to be when they do collapse the dollar? Because we know that's coming. I just listened to Gerald Celente just put out a video, and I've been following him for quite a few years. And he basically reiterated just what you just said, Doug. So what do you think the effect's going to be? He's a smart guy. Very, very smart man. And like I've been following him for about 5 years now. I listen to anything he puts out. And the Prophecy Club is another one that I follow. But anyways, what do you think is going to be the effect when they do this? What's going to be the end game?
Well, their end game is to absolute control. And without the fiat currency system, which is what the great reset is all about, it's not about resetting society. It's about resetting the fiat currency system into a new fiat currency system so they will maintain control. But right. They need the old fiat currency system to be there to reset into a new fiat currency system. And like Alistair was saying, if you read the entire article, they don't have time. It's too late. Their fiat currency system is in full-blown collapse. One of the things that a lot of the Gerald Caliente, Alistair MacLeod, and the other various other writers don't really talk about, other than a gentleman by the name of Bix Weir, who is also another great writer, and Ergon von Graeas, he also speaks of this, is what's going on in the off-balance sheet banking, which is the derivatives. This is what I talk about a lot from time to time, is the derivatives problem. And the derivatives problem is what they believe today, somewhere between, because they don't know for sure, 2.8 quadrillion and 5 quadrillion.
So that's a lot of zeros.
Well, let's think of what is one quadrillion? One quadrillion is 1,000 trillion, and it's a million billion, and it's a trillion million.
Well, my calculator doesn't go that high.
Exactly. Neither does theirs. And that thing, that little derivatives thing in 2019, I said this in December of 2019, they crossed the event horizon of that black hole. And if you're a sci-fi buff, when you cross an event horizon of a black hole, that means there's no way out. And that's the problem that they've been having. And they've been feeding that problem from March the 1st. They started pumping $30 trillion a month into that black hole. As of September the 1st of this year, it's now up to $90 trillion a month.
And that's just money they're printing out of thin air.
Correct.
Wow. Well, the end game of that will be, of course, the collapse of the system, because no system can handle that kind of fabrication of money. I'm not a smart guy, but I know that. So the end game, obviously, is going to be the collapse of the dollar.
Exactly.
Just a matter of time.
Well, and it's a very short period of time right now. In order for them to institute this digital currency, central bank digital currency that they want to do, it takes anywhere from 3 to 4 years to do that. It would take 3 to 4 years. They've only got maybe, at the best, 12 months. That's it. That's why you're seeing Klaus Schwab come out and say, you will own nothing and you will be happy. That's why you've got the UN coming out and people like, Trudeau and good old Justine saying, oh, we've joined with the UN on the 2030 agenda, and we're with Klaus Schwab on the Great Reset, and it's just absolute foolishness. That poor dumb bastard is going to be swinging from one of the nearest lampposts in the not too distant future.
I hope they're all swinging from some trees, and I shouldn't say that because I am a man of faith, but they all deserve it because they're all perpetrating treason at the highest levels against the people of this planet right now. The agenda we see ramping up right now, Doug, it's coming at us in light speed, and the reason I believe they're doing that is because their backs, like you said, are up against the wall now. They realize that the charade is up.
Yes.
And they've really got to push this hard. What do you think is going to happen with the American election? What do you think the results of that are going to be?
Well, I hope there's a bunch of Americans listening because Mr. Trump is your next president.
Yeah, like it or not, I'll have to agree with that. There's a lot of people in the chat that don't like Trump, and I know why, but let's talk about it for a few minutes, Doug.
Well, the one thing that people are overlooking is the executive order he wrote in 2018. You know what I'm talking about, Barry, or the executive order?
I've looked into that a little bit. Let's break it down. Doug, explain that to people, please.
Well, basically, it's an executive order that said if any outside interference was played in the election and from foreign governments, that they have the ability to seize those foreign assets on American soil. And so you need to understand why Dominion here in Toronto, head offices here in Canada, in Toronto, their offices are all empty now, by the way. They did a midnight move. They were going to go down to Philadelphia, and as per the invitation of the governor of Philadelphia, to sit down and explain to 1.3 million people in Pennsylvania why their votes were skewed within the Dominion voting machines that were deployed across various counties and so forth. And they said, yes, we'll come down and we'll explain. An hour before they were supposed to be there, the governor got a call from their lawyers saying they wouldn't show up.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And they're running because under the executive order that Trump wrote in 2018, they, upon setting foot on U.S. soil, could be arrested and put into prison. So
where are they all flown to?
Well, exactly. They don't know. They don't know. Where are they all gone? They're private.
Well, I know that. I know that because somebody else reported to me that they were actually, keeping an eye on the Dominion offices, and there was lights on in the middle of the night. And there was also, apparently, and I'm trying to confirm, some American intelligence people in Canada for 3 or 4 days. And I'm trying to confirm that, but that's kind of interesting how this is all playing together.
Actually, the people from DOJ were up here. They were actually here to meet with them. The Dominion people had agreed. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, we'll sit down with you. And then they get here, and they get here the next day, and the offices are, they got
vacant.
Light fixtures hanging from the ceiling. They almost tore up the carpets and took it with them, right? But everything completely. You've seen pictures of guys when they do a midnight move out of a place that everything goes all at once into all the boxes and just forget how to pack it properly, just get it out of there quickly. And that's exactly what Dominion Security or Dominion did. By the way, do you understand that also that in Dominion they share office space with Open Society and the Tides Foundation?
Right. I know that.
And that
buddy buddies.
Soros's nephew or somebody, anyways, from the Soros family actually sat on the board of Dominion.
Right. I was aware of that also. I've been looking at all the connections and links to Dominion. And boy, when you start going down that rabbit hole, Doug, you better have yourself a GPS because there's a whole bunch of them connected. It's crazy. It is. I was looking at that a couple days ago and all the connections to Dominion and the people that are involved and Clinton's and Trudeau and everybody else. They all seem to have their fingers in that pie, buddy. But well, what do you expect?
And it's a big pie, and they all want their little piece of the action.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of this coin is that this – a lot of people just have ignored this executive order. When he wrote it in 2018, nobody paid any attention. And it really is something that is very strong. And now what you're seeing going on with the lawyers and the court filings and all this other stuff, what he's actually doing is once the evidence is presented in the courts, then that executive order kicks in. Then he can make the move with the executive order because now the evidence is there.
Hmm. Oh, well, yeah. I don't see this as a battle for Trump or for the Dems. This is a battle for right and wrong. Like Trump or not, or you hate him. I know there's a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people hate him. I have said it many times, Doug, that I have to sit on the fence with Trump. I have to, because I've always maintained in my life that there is controlled opposition and there's a giant agenda being played on people. And whether he's a player and what his role is, I can't say for sure, but I have to stay outside the box, buddy, because, like I said, I've always maintained that there's a giant agenda going on that we're not part to. What do you think?
And I agree with you completely on that, 100%. It's not about Trump. It's not about Biden, but it's about the election process. And it's exactly. about proving one way or the other that it's secure. And if they prove that it's not secure, then the United States has a big, big problem on their hands. And it doesn't matter whether it's Trump or Biden or Kamala Harris or whoever is at the reins of that. That needs to be completely looked at and gone through thoroughly to re-secure the election process. Because
I think we should go back to paper ballots, buddy. I really do. Well, because it would stop all the shenanigans, wouldn't it? So it takes a little bit more work, and you had two people monitoring the paper ballots. Wouldn't that be a simple way to solve it?
Here's the thing. They had paper ballots. It wasn't all Dominion machines. They had paper ballot in a lot of the states. And what did you saw in Detroit where they had the count room and it was full of Democrats and they kicked the Republican side of the oversight out and then they put big cardboard pieces over the window.
Well, I saw that. And that's a violent, that's a vagrant breaking of the law, the election laws in the United States of America. And my understanding, Doug, is all these vagrant, these votes that aren't legal because they weren't witnessed will be thrown out in the court of law, or that at least they should be. If there is any law left in the states.
And the other side of this was there was another one where they had this great big auditorium that they were counting in. And they pushed the oversight people to 20 feet away. So the oversight people went to court and they got to be within 6 feet. So what did the Democratic side do? They moved it 100 feet away.
Yeah, I saw that. And that's not just one report. We're seeing reports like that come in from across the country, Doug. So
but if that is the whole thing, I don't know what is.
Well, you know what really pees me off the most is the mainstream media still is calling it fake evidence. And the evidence is mounting, man. I mean, the affidavits that have been sworn out by witnesses and the information they've seized the server now. I know that they have possession of the server. I believe they'll capture all this data and eventually it will all be exposed. I honestly believe that. So if it's a giant psyop, I just hope for time's sake that Biden doesn't steal this, Doug, because if he does, he can't. At this point, it would tell me that the other side is just a complete player. If this is allowed to go through and Biden is inaugurated as president, you'll also see 75 million teed off Americans ready to pick up guns and stand against Biden being inaugurated. I honestly believe that we could be laying down seeds for a civil war right now because it wouldn't take much to start the shooting.
You've also got to understand another thing, that the Electoral College actually has to sign off on that. And if there's questions of fraud within the voting system, the Electoral College will not sign off. They will not, because they're the final arbitrator of the electorate, for the president and the vice president. And without their signatures signing off on the election, then there is no election. And Biden cannot be inaugurated. That, you know, whatever the mainstream media says, oh, yeah, blah, 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 it doesn't make a hoot of difference because legally and lawfully, they haven't signed off. He's not the elected president.
Right, but they're sure pumping him up now. They're talking about him like he's now the president, so we better start listening to him right now, and that's what the mainstream putting out. It's pathetic, Doug. Yeah, it really is.
But there is no law behind it. He is not the president-elect. He has not been certified.
I know that. All I'm telling you is that the mainstream media now is just brainwashing it.
Form of government, and it's not a democracy.
Yeah, it's just propaganda that's coming out of mainstream about him being president and all this other fake stuff. Sure, we know it's all bull crap. but they're still having an effect on the American people that still listen to mainstream, you know? So we really got kind of an interesting situation developing here, but I honestly believe, for the sake of right versus wrong, that this is all sorted out and these people go to jail, period.
Ideally, that would be lovely.
Well, then we've got to ask yourself, why Clinton, why Hillary Clinton's not in jail yet, eh, Doug?
Exactly, you know.
Oh, boy. What goes on behind the curtains?
Well, and that's just it. And they make deals, you know, we'll keep you out of jail, but you can't, you know, play this way or play that way. You know, the old USSR had it the right way. They take you behind the curtain and shoot you.
Well, we see the same agenda being played out right now as we did in 1937 Germany.
Yeah.
It's almost to the T. Doug, what's going on in Canada, especially right now? I mean, what's going on in this country? Boy, I'll tell you. When Trudeau came out and made his little speech about the Great Reset, and Canadians got to hear on that, honestly, Doug, I have never seen so many people all of a sudden, even in my little town of Terrace, British Columbia, all of a sudden engaging in conversation going, what the hell is this guy talking about? Well, guess what? He's just put it out for you folks, and it's in black and white what his agenda is, his agenda all along. And it's really, I think he's really kind of shot himself in the foot with this one, Doug. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, he has absolutely publicly said, I'm committing treason on the Canadian people. And this is how I'm committing treason. He's laid it out for us.
Yeah.
So
why isn't he arrested tomorrow?
Well, that's just it. Because the cronies that sit around him are in agreement with him. And they've also committed treason against the we the people here. But being a de facto government that it is, you know, they're already in a treasonous position. So they figure they can only hang us once if they can catch us. So if we can actually take finalize our absolute control over them, then we can win. But if we don't, it doesn't matter because we're going to the gallows for being de facto in the first place.
Yeah, it's we draw a line now or else we get on our knees, Doug. It's simple as that.
And that's very true.
It's kind of scary. It's kind of scary that we've gotten to that point in society, but we see it now in our face on steroids, literally. On steroids, it's coming at us so fast, especially with what's going on in Canada right now. Just unbelievable, some of the things that are going on. They just, you know, our British Columbia government just mandated masks for all indoor spaces now in British Columbia. No exceptions province-wide, so if you live in a little town of 300 people up in northern BC, you can't go in a building without putting on a mask. I can't go to the grocery store now to get groceries because I won't put a mask on. And yesterday in Smithers, they arrested a guy for not leaving the bank when they told him to leave because he didn't have a mask on. The RCMP came out and enforced the government's mandate. Do you believe this crap, Doug?
Well,
it's out of control, buddy. Go ahead.
Well, it's funny that you see the mandate says for interior use only, yet people are walking down the streets wearing masks in the pouring rain and the snow. And they're I saw a guy last summer driving in his convertible with the top down with a mask on.
I know. I saw a guy cutting his lawn with a mask on.
Do they not read the mandates? You know,
With people's brains? What's wrong with people's brains? Can't people think objectively? Can't they just take 20 minutes and go, wait a second, something about this whole thing doesn't pass the smell test, and maybe we should look into a few things that the alternative, the Wackadoodle Club over there is talking about? And then they start finding out that there's a lot to what the wackadoodles are saying. And, you know, I don't understand, Doug. I really don't understand why intellectual people in our society, and we're supposed to be intellectual, can't take 15, 20 minutes and look at an alternative opinions on this whole scam demo. Because if they did, they'd start a journey and they'd go, questions would start coming up. If you got any kind of an IQ, you'd start asking questions and especially with the vaccine they're going to try and ram into our arms, Doug. I mean, that is where I am going to have to draw a line in the sand, because the only way they're going to get a vaccine in me, my friend, is if my heart is not beating, period.
Oh, and I understand.
There's no arguing that point, that this is absolute medical tyranny. It violates the Nuremberg trials. It violates our Geneva Conventions. It violates everything that the Charter of Rights and Freedom says. It's just right out of control. And this is what's coming down the tubes for us. They're going to force us to comply, just like the masks.
And the first big question I always ask people is, so you know that SARS-CoV-2 is COVID-19. and yet no virology lab or vaccine virology lab in the world has isolated that genome. So what virus are you talking about?
Exactly. But they can't take the time to go look at those reports. Health Canada stated the same thing, Doug, that they cannot isolate this virus. So how are you going to vaccinate against something you can't isolate? Even somebody with a very low IQ, that's got to ring alarm bells, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. And here's a funnier thing. So the German Ministry of Health came out last week and announced that they had done some pathology and autopsies on bodies that the WHO said that they shouldn't be doing. These are bodies that were diagnosed with COVID-19 and on their death certificates was COVID-19. So these pathologists went through approximately 100 cadavers that mm-hmm. had died supposedly of COVID-19, and they had made a very interesting discovery that it's actually not a virus. It's a very rare bacterial infection that killed these people in every single case. And the bacterial infection causes thrombosis or blood clotting within the body, and it starts in the lungs. And then it moves throughout the rest of the body if not properly diagnosed and then properly early diagnose it, because it's easy to diagnose once you know what you're looking for. And do you know what the cure for that was?
Go ahead.
Aspirin.
Oh, that doesn't make us any money, man. We can't have that out there at all, Doug. Come on. We got all these vaccines. We're going to make billions and billions off these vaccines. Whoever said that, go shoot them.
So you can't vaccinate against the bacteria.
Wow.
I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. And then of course, the press just completely ignored any of this stuff. As per usual, but it did get out. And I actually got this from the German Ministry of Health.
They just released another really good report, and there was a group of doctors in Denmark that just released another really good report, Doug, and it was off the internet almost instantly. I don't know if you got to read that or listen to what they had to say, but they're basically reiterating exactly what you just said. And, of course, the media quash on this and the silence of this information, they're going to do everything they can to keep this away from people. They have to, or it just blows their whole agenda right out of the water.
Well, there was a headline this morning. I want to see if I can't still, if I can find this for you, coming out of Denmark, because Denmark has now come out and said, hang on a second, let's see if I can't find it here, that they're now rescinding orders on masks and lockdowns. That they're no longer going to comply with the WHO and so forth. It was up on Zero Hedge this morning. I'm like,
okay, I'm buying a ticket to Denmark tomorrow.
Finally, you know, there's people that are waking up to this complete and utter garbage.
Well, the Danish government tried to mandate vaccines, and the Danish people stood up against it, and the government backed down. I know you know about that, Doug. Just an example, folks, that we have to, at this point, if they try to stick this poison in our arms, then we have to draw a line in the sand, because medical tyranny is medical tyranny. And you can put a lipstick on it, you can dress it up, you can disguise it all you want, you can have Justin Butthead there talking about it, and you can have Teresa Tam talking about it, and all the actresses, and Pfizer coming out and telling us that they've got a vaccine that's 95% effective against something they can't isolate. What am I missing here, Doug?
Here's another interesting headline. The Portuguese courts ruled PCR tests are unreliable and quarantines unlawful.
Wow.
So the cracks in this scamdemic are starting to show their...
Yep, they are. And I'm going to have Alex, we're going to call Alex Newman in here right now. Doug, I'm asking Steve to give him a call. I know he said he'd join us for the last half hour. I want to get his thoughts on what's going on with the American elections, and I'd like to pick his brains on vaccines. So hopefully he'll join us here in a second. I know he's standing by.
Give me a second here. I got to get his number again. I got to scroll up.
Okay, no problem.
I have to scroll up.
We're going to have him come in a minute.
Yeah, I'm looking. I can't. Zero Hedge updates so quickly all the time now with all this new stuff coming in. I'm having trouble finding the one on Denmark.
Okay, I know that, and also the one that I talked about, the doctors talking about the mass, also came from Denmark. But I went and tried to find it again, and it was taken down. I couldn't find it again, but I got a chance to look at that. But kudos to the Danish people, and maybe that'll resonate right through Europe. It has to.
Well, and Sweden,
this is craziness. This is insanity.
Yeah, well, Sweden went for herd immunity. You know, hello.
Well, exactly. No, I mean, this is beyond insanity. You know, when you and me grew up, Doug, we were exposed to every disease known to man. We all had chickenpox and measles and mumps and everything else, whooping cough. I don't think there was a disease ever known to people and kids at my age that I didn't have. But you know what that did, folks? That built my immune system, and I've got a really strong immune system, and it's held me all my life. And it's great.
Hey, how's it going, Barry?
Alex Newman. How you doing, Mr. Newman? And thanks for taking time out of your very busy day on Sunday, your day off, days you spend with your family. I thank you very much for joining me today. I've been looking forward to hearing from you. I do have Doug Force in the room here with me right now, and we're going to get some questions to you right now as to what's going on in America and where are we going with this election shabazzle. First question I want, and welcome to the show, by the way. And thanks again for joining me.
Hey, well, thank you very much for having me, gentlemen. It's great to be with you. And what is going on in America is not being reported by the fake media. And so I know people in foreign countries who, you know, don't have eyes to see in the United States have difficulty trying to determine what's going on. But what is going on is there is an incredible fight for the soul of this nation taking place. There is an enormous effort to overturn the voter fraud. And, you know, the fake media is trying to pretend like Biden is already president-elect. That is simply not true. It is a demonstrable fraud. The Electoral College, which will do the picking of the president, won't meet until December 14th, and then the results of the Electoral College vote won't be known until January 6th, when the results are unsealed in Congress. There are multiple possible routes to victory for Donald Trump. If he can expose the fraud in just a handful of these states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, potentially even Virginia and New Mexico, then he will win the presidential election, either at the Electoral College or if it ends up going to Congress. We have a system that I know is kind of confusing to foreigners, but basically every state gets a number of electors, and each state determines for itself how they're going to divide up their electors. Most states give all the electors to the victor of the popular vote in their state, although not all states do that. And to win the presidential election, somebody has to get 270 electoral votes at least. And if the election results are shown to be fraudulent, and at this point it's beyond obvious that they're fraudulent, then those states have the option through their state legislature to either send a different slate of delegates to the Electoral College. So some of these states where the media fraudulently claimed that Biden won could send Trump electors to the Electoral College, or they could have their state delegates decertified so they wouldn't be eligible to vote at the Electoral College. And if that were to happen, if neither candidate gets 270 because several state delegations were disqualified, that would mean that Congress will end up choosing the next president. And the way it would work in Congress under the 12th Amendment is every state would get one vote in Congress.
Right.
Most of the state delegations are Republicans, and therefore President Trump would still have a very good chance to win the election. So it's far from over. There is a huge effort to overturn and expose this fraud, but the media is keeping totally quiet about it because they don't want people to know. They don't want the American people to realize they've been deceived, and they certainly don't want people around the world to realize what's going on here. So,
well, I think the rest of the world would agree with Trump when we say the election was stolen. It was stolen. What I've looked at for evidence so far is just monstrative, and it's everywhere. It's across the board. It's not just one state. But my question would be right now, there's five or six states that are in contention right now, and yet they are declaring Biden the president-elect. I mean, shouldn't they be called out on that right now? Because this is crap. He isn't president-elect right now, as far as I can understand. Am I correct in saying that?
He is not president-elect. No, nobody will be president-elect until the Electoral College makes that decision, and that won't be known until January 6th. So if on January 6th Biden wins at the Electoral College, then he has the right to start calling himself president-elect. But there are still ways to reverse the fraud even after that happens, because if it can be shown that these results were fraudulent, then right now the amount of evidence is just off the charts. It's overwhelming. It's nationwide. It's systemic. It's being exposed all over the place. Then, you know, we can't have a fraudulent election deciding who's going to be the president of the United States. And so, you know, this is not over by a long shot, regardless of what the fake media might want to say. And even under the most generous interpretation, there is no way that a person can legitimately call Biden the president-elect. The only way that that could happen would be if Trump concedes, and Trump has not conceded. He says he has no plans to concede. He says the election was fraudulent. The fake media is trying to pretend like election officials also agree that there wasn't fraud, and that's absolutely not true. In fact, the top federal election official, his name is Trey Traynor, he's the chairman of the Federal Elections Commission, has said that this election was illegitimate due to the fraud. So when the media says there's no evidence of fraud, that's a fraud. When the media says that election officials say there's no fraud, that's a fraud. The media is literally lying. It's not like they're biased. They're literally lying. They're saying things that are demonstrably untrue.
Well, all I can say, Alex, is I hope they all have their day in court when this is all settled. Because this isn't about Donald Trump or Joe Biden. This is about the very structure of the United States of America. And you can take Trump out of the equation, but when you have this level of fraud been perpetrated against the American people, this will not rest well. If he somehow gets inaugurated, Alex, I think you'd probably see a civil war break out in the United States of America. And I hope it never gets to that point. But you have a lot of peed off Americans right now that are looking at this information. And to me, you know, anybody with a little bit of common sense, you got to ask yourself that every scenario that we're seeing where Dominion voting machines are being used, the same scenario is playing out state after state after state. The amount of sealed affidavits and sworn witnesses under the penalty of perjury right now, the list is just astronomical. And this is all going to be presented, like I said, in a court of law. We're going to see a lot of upheaval here in the next little while, because you've got all these groups now just going, Yahoo, Yahoo, Yahoo. Biden is our man. He's making deals with people around the world. He's broken the Logan Act, as far as I can see. Boy, this is really getting to be quite an interesting situation, as far as I'm concerned. It's like a movie. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, on the topic of a civil war, I don't rule that out as a possibility. Now, of course, we hope it never comes to that. In fact, I think there's a very real chance that the elites are hoping to stir one up. But, you know, I hope it won't come to that. I hope we'll be able to sort this out using the courts and the rule of law before it gets to anything like that. Because, you know, a civil war would be ideal for the deep state, for the establishment, because that would end up destroying the United States of America.
Yep.
It would offer a perfect pretext for disarmament and for having foreign troops come into the United States. So I think it's essential that we prevent a civil war. But one of the things that we're seeing now all across the United States is terrorist groups and revolutionary groups being activated, including you know, Black Lives Matter and Antifa and some of these communist Marxist revolutionary groups. They're out already. You know, the media doesn't give a lot of coverage of this, but they're out already destroying property, terrorizing people. In fact, there was an enormous rally. Hundreds of thousands of people converged on Washington, D.C. For a Stop the Steal rally. And they were viciously and violently attacked by terrorists and thugs. And what was especially horrifying is that they targeted the weakest members of the rally. They went after elderly people. They smashed their heads with bricks. They went after minorities. They went after children and families. And of course, the fake media doesn't talk about this. In fact, they've so dishonestly reported that, oh, violence broke out at the Stop the Steal rally whenever they did mention it, not pointing out that the violence was 100% terrorist groups and revolutionists attacking peaceful demonstrators demanding an honest election. So, you know, it's a very serious situation in the United States right now. Fortunately, this kind of violence hasn't spilled into a lot of the smaller towns yet. But, you know, if and when the fraud is exposed and Donald Trump is declared to be the winner of the presidential election, I think we can probably expect a whole lot more violence. And, you know, that's the point at which we're going to need probably the federal government to invoke the Insurrection Act and, if necessary, activate troops and certainly our law enforcement officials across the country to put down the insurrection, the revolution, whatever you want to call this terrorist movement. So,
Yeah, I think that's part of their agenda. I really do. I honestly believe that Biden will not be inaugurated as president, and when that is announced, Alex, I would agree. I think that a lot of these groups are absolutely going to go right nuts and try and create as much chaos as they can. And like I said, I hope at that point it's quelled, because it has to be. But yeah, violence is what they want. They want us to go to war with each other. It's all part of their agenda, justifying all kinds of draconian measures. So let's hope it doesn't get to that point, that we can stop it before it gets to that point. But it's going to ruffle a lot of people's feathers when Biden is announced on. They're going to have to eventually cover this media. They're going to have to actually announce it, that what's going on at one point, and boy, are they ever going to have some egg on their face. To say the least.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy, true. Crazy
it's
times.
It's going to be a very hectic time.
You know, Alex, it's funny. You know, I went back to some of the shows we were doing years ago with people, and we talked about this particular time in history when things were really going to go crazy in society. And we kind of talked about, you know, an economic collapse being the mechanism, and we also talked about a health emergency being the mechanism. And we see both those seem to be playing in steroids right now. So we knew this time was coming, and boy, is it a crazy time to be alive or what?
Yeah, it really is. And you're right. You know, I'm not one of the people who likes to go around and say, I told you so. But we have been warning about this for so many years, about the tyranny, about the unrest. You know, and it's not because we're prophets. We don't have any kind of crystal ball. We don't have any kind of extraordinary intelligence. It was just a matter of not paying attention to the fraudulent media and looking at reality. And anybody with common sense should have been able to see what was coming. And, you know, now at this point, I think the people who have been warning about this are the people who really need to be taken seriously. And the people who have been lying all along, and that very much includes Fox News and others, need to be cast aside and ignored, if not, you know, publicly humiliated and shamed. So,
yeah. You know, honestly, in my community, I said it here a little while ago when I was talking to Doug in the first half hour here, Alex, like people that were calling me a wackadoodle, you know, 3-4 years ago, tinfoil hat guy, are now, honestly, buddy, and it's so encouraging that I've got, there's all kinds of people in Terrace that are all of a sudden engaging in real conversations with me that I didn't think they'd engage in. And that is really kind of lifted my spirits here in the last couple of weeks, especially. I'm starting to engage with real heart-to-heart conversations with people that see this agenda now being played out on us. Doug Force is in the room. Did you want to say something to Doug, to Alex, while you're in here, Doug? I know you've been listening in the background.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, Alex. I've read every article you've ever written about climate change. Amazing, amazing gentleman. And I was listening to what you were talking about the Electoral College. I did touch on that a little bit with Barry, but you sure filled in the blanks. Thank you very much. I'm here in Canada, and I'm kind of glad that I'm here in Canada and not down there where you are right now with what you're going through. It saddens me to see that America on a world stage is in such a state. That great country that it is has now come down to this, and how horrible it is. It must be for you as a true American patriot to see this happening in your own backyard.
Yeah, it is very sad, but we knew it was eventually going to come to this. You know, America was kind of the last great barrier other than the divine standing in the way of this New World Order agenda. And, you know, if we're honest, we have to say that they did a pretty good job of hijacking large sections of our government and exploiting our military to try to implement this agenda. But they never were able to completely destroy Americans' belief in individual liberty, our belief in our constitutional system of government, our understanding of God-given rights. And so that really is, I think, the last barrier before they can bring in this global tyranny. And we're watching that unfold now. And it is very sad. It's tragic that this is happening. But I'm hoping that we can come out the other side of this stronger than ever before. You know, the media will be completely and totally discredited. The American people will have realized that there was a concerted effort to overthrow our system of government and our free political institutions. And that'll be a very positive development, because if the United States regains its footing, if we can kind of expose and really decimate the effort to enslave mankind, that should give the rest of the world a time to breathe, and hopefully time for people to become educated and hold back this evil and this darkness for, you know, at least more generations. That would be very nice. So.
Yeah, it is a very, very interesting time we find ourselves in, that's for sure. And lots of different scenarios how it could play out. We don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but we know things are going to get crazier because these guys are drunk with power now, and they've unleashed this fear virus in society. They got the reaction from society they wanted. We see people hiding in fear over something that hasn't got the knockdown power of a bad virus or a bad flu. Doug was explaining that it's not actually a virus, that it's a bacteria. And I wish we could get that information out and get that verified to people, because that would blow their agenda right out the door. But regardless, I believe it's going to get blown out the door. We are in full lockdown now. Well, not lockdown, but masks in British Columbia now, Alex. That came out 2 days ago from our NDP government, that anywhere in British Columbia in public spaces, we have to put a mask on. And I see people openly defying that now, but I also see hundreds of sheeple walking around. What's your feelings on the vaccines that are coming out and they're going to try and bring into public as the new way to end this problem? What's your thoughts on that, Alex?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've been following the vaccine controversy pretty much from the very start of my career in journalism. One of my first really big investigative projects was back during the swine flu hysteria of 2009, which was right after I graduated from the University of Florida with a degree in journalism. And at that time, I really had no reason to be suspicious of vaccines, but my editor called and said, hey, they're talking about all this crazy swine flu and crazy swine flu vaccines. We dig into it. So I spent a month doing research, and it became obvious pretty quickly that we were being deceived on vaccines. They are not nearly as safe as advertised, and they are not nearly as effective as advertised. So we have a double whammy right there. Then you add to that the new technology that's being incorporated into these COVID vaccines. And I'll tell you this, I wouldn't take one if you offered me $1 billion. I wouldn't let somebody inject one of those things into my children if you offered me all the money in the world. Under no circumstances would I. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't tell people what they should or shouldn't do. But I will say, do your own research. The things that are coming out about these COVID vaccines, first of all, they're made using the bodies of murder victims, right? They're using aborted babies to manufacture these vaccines. That is a fact. They admit that that's going on. And so right away, I think everybody, if it comes to it, needs to claim a religious exemption if they decide they don't want the pieces, parts from murder victims injected into their bloodstream. Second of all, some of these vaccines that are in development and that are being pioneered are using a completely new technology called the RNA vaccine that literally edits your genetic code. And frankly, you know, I think God gave me the genetic code he wanted me to have. I don't think Bill Gates or these big pharmaceutical companies are smarter than God. And so, frankly, I don't want my genetic code edited. I think my genetic code is just fine the way God designed it. Thank you very much. So under no circumstances will I take one of these vaccines. Then you add to that the immunity they have from liability. It's just absolutely crazy. And I personally can't understand why anybody would want to take this. And I suspect, you know, even from the fake polling data, it's clear that I think most Americans are already very suspicious of this. I think there's going to be a whole lot more to come. And I think there's a very real chance that the harm from this could be enormous, especially if it's widely distributed. So,
Yeah, especially when we look at what they can do with nanotechnology now, Alex. I've looked into that quite a bit in the last 3 years, and it just blows my mind what they can do with nanotechnology, how small they can actually make things that they could be put into our bodies, and we'd have no idea that they're inserting those things in our body, on top of what you just talked about. I mean, it is absolutely insane. And then Pfizer comes out and announces they have a vaccine that's 95% effective. I've never heard a bigger pile of crap in my life. But a lot of people are going to swallow this up, the same people that are putting on the masks. I'm in fear of will roll up their arms and let the vaccine be put into their body. They're sure forcing compliance with the mask. It really goes to show you how many sheeple are still out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's true. I was actually shocked at how many people went along with this, because, you know, when you ask people in polls about the media, almost everybody will tell you they don't trust the media, that the media is dishonest, that they lie, that they're biased. And yet, when they started peddling this COVID hysteria, a significant majority of people, at least initially, went along with it. And you see people driving in their own cars wearing masks. You're like, oh my goodness, you must be a Biden voter. But it's just terrifying that they still have that much influence over not just the American people, but people around the world. I do think that they're losing a lot of their credibility, and I think this vaccine might be one, and the election fraud might be some of the final straws that break the camel's back. But it's, you know, it's just critical that people move away from the establishment media, and that includes very much the controlled opposition media like Fox News, which, you know, I've been warning about for many, many years. They're even more dangerous than the normal fake media. Yes, you get more truth from Fox News than you would from any of the other fake media outlets, but Fox News is much more dangerous precisely because they have gained people's trust by having more truth than the other operations. And exactly. When the time comes, they're always ready to stab us in the back.
Yeah. Boy, you can sure see a wolf in sheep's clothing when it comes to Fox News, because, you know, I used to listen to them, and I've gone away from them. And so have a lot of other people. We see what they're truly, that they've been compromised just like the rest of the mainstream media in the United States of America. Yep. But I believe they're all about to wear a whole bunch of pie on their face. I really pray every day that that's coming, and I honestly believe it is coming. So we're going to see some pretty interesting stuff here in the next little while, Alex. Exactly where it's going to go, I'm not sure, but we're definitely going to see some upheaval in America.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's already started, and I suspect it's going to get much worse. You know, for years I've been telling people it would be a wise thing to make sure you have a little bit of extra food on hand, some, you know, backup plans for water, plan B, plan C, plan D is never going to hurt anybody. And, exactly. You know, I don't know exactly the situation in Canada when it comes to self-defense, but I urge people who believe in self-defense in the United States, make sure you're armed, make sure you have some spare ammunition, not because we want to engage in violence, but because it is essential that we protect our own families and that we do not allow terrorists and potentially even foreign troops to overrun our nation.
Yeah, and boy, Trudeau is doing everything he can right now to take firearms away from Canadians, but that's just another page of the Communist Manifesto, and that is one book that I have read. I haven't read a lot of books in my life, Alex. I also read a book called Rules for Radicals, and it really kind of crossed the T's and dotted the I's to exactly what's being implemented in our society and where they're going. We're basically right now in 1937 Germany.
Yep. And they laid out the ultimate agenda was very clear in both of those books. When you read Rules for Radicals, for example, right even before you start reading the book, the author, Saul Alinsky, dedicated his book to Lucifer. And the same is true with Marx. He very often presented himself as an atheist who was too sophisticated for religion. But if you actually read his poetry, it's very clear that he was not an atheist. He understood very well the existence of God, but he hated God with a passion. And when you read his poetry, you realize, no, this guy was actually a Satanist, like an actual Satanist. He talks about how he is working with Satan, how he hates God, how he wants to destroy everything God has created. And so once you understand that this is really a diabolical plot against God, against mankind, against the things that God has ordained, like family, like liberty, like property rights, then you really truly start to understand the nature of this battle.
Yeah, they're destroying everything that's good to be about a human being, and they've been doing it for a long time, slowly, incrementally, bringing all these changes into our society. And now we see the zombie apocalypse unfolding in front of our eyes. I mean, they brought that movie out, 15 years ago, Alex, and everybody laughed. Hey, that can't happen. But boy, we're only one needle away from that, folks, right now. literally. I know, Doug, we're down to about 4 minutes here. Doug, did you want to add a few more comments before I have to let Alex go?
Well, I just want to say, from one of my favorite founding fathers of the United States, I just want to read a quick quote. It says, "The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny and government." And everybody knows that was Thomas Jefferson, and he's the same man that wrote the Declaration of Independence. And I tell you, I wish you nothing but the best, Alex, and all the American people down there, that you do find a lawful and a legal way to resolve this issue and take your rightful place back on the podium, being one of the beacon of light and hope for the rest of the world. That's it.
Well, thank you,
Jerry, for having me.
We sure appreciate that. If the Canadian people would keep our nation in their prayers, and it's about much more than America. If America falls, the rest of the world is going to fall as well, and that includes Canada, that includes all the nations formerly known as the Western world or Christendom. We really are the last line of defense here, but we do have a lot of good things going for us. you know, in addition to having 350 million privately owned firearms in this country, we still have our system of local police departments. We still have our system of elected local sheriffs. We still have our system of governors and state legislatures. And all of these institutions are going to be called upon in the days ahead, depending on how things go, to protect the rights and liberties of the American people, to protect the rule of law, and to ensure that we do not fall victim to the things that have afflicted so many other nations and people throughout world history. So despite what it looks like, we still have a lot of things in our favor. And, you know, I think we all need to be praying that that God would give our nation another chance. It's true. A lot of wicked things have come from America over the last 50 or 60 years. But, you know, we're working to stop that as best we can. And with God's help, we will live to fight another day, and we'll restore freedom in this country. And hopefully good things will come out of all of this. So
I gotta add to what Doug said. Kudos to what you're doing, Alex. And it's always a pleasure to have you on. To have a gentleman on with your stature and your intelligence is always makes for a great show.
And hey, well, I appreciate you guys having me very much. So,
well, yeah, why don't you share with people real quick where they can find your work, Alex, before we have to let you go?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. So my personal site is libertysentinel.org. That's libertysentinel, S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org. I'm also a senior editor at the New American Magazine. I'm a columnist and a contributor to the Epoch Times. I'm the executive director of Public School Exit. We're trying to get as many children as possible out of the government's indoctrination system, masquerading as a school system. And if people put my name into a search engine, they can find me there. And I'm on Parler, I'm on Twitter and other social media, and I'd love to hear from people. So thank you very much again, gentlemen, for having me. I appreciate it, and God bless Canada and America.
Well, thanks again, Alex, and follow Alex, please, folks, and support his work. Well worth your time and your energy. I read the Epoch Times now myself, Alex. I'm actually making myself read, and I'm not a good reader, and some of the information in that newspaper, folks, you've got to go pay attention to what they're saying. Okay, I got to let you go, Alex. I'll be back in 3 minutes with Kevin J. Johnson, and boy, has he got lots to talk about. And Doug, you're welcome to hang around for the second hour if you choose to do so. Thanks again, Alex, for joining me. I'll be back in 3-4 minutes, folks.
Welcome back, second hour, and thanks again for Alex Newman and Doug Force joining me there. The first hour, that was a great conversation, and I look forward to having Alex back in the very near future. I am joined by a man I call a firecracker, because that's what he is, and a man that's got more courage than a lot of elephants for what he's put up with in the last three, 4 years of his life, his determination and his perseverance after being locked up in jail, attacked, beaten up. The man is back kicking like crazy. Of course, I'm talking about Kevin J. Johnson. Welcome to the show, Kevin, and always a pleasure to have you back, my friend.
Barry, it is always a pleasure to speak with you, my friend. And listen, thanks for having Doug Force on the show in the earlier half there. I mean, what a phenomenal guy that he is. And I had the extreme pleasure of spending just about the entire day with him and the entire crew that normally I see sporadically or just speak to on the phone. So you had Wayne Peters and Derek Story, Doug Force, Pat King, and then there's a number of independent Calgary media that all came out to introduce themselves to me and hand me their business cards. And I want to say hello to everybody in Calgary that made me feel at home for the last week. I had a phenomenal week in Alberta.
Boy, every time I saw you on video, you had a big smile on your face, Kevin. And I know you're having a good time because the atmosphere there as opposed to Toronto. I know you're back into that pool now. And I know you can't wait to get out of there because it is really gone down the tubes. But you get a breath of fresh air when you get out west and you get a little taste of that Western hospitality.
Western hospitality, it outweighs Ontario hospitality a thousandfold because there is no hospitality in Southern Ontario anymore, which I get. I mean, you know, due to stupid immigration policies, we have completely eradicated all Southern Ontario and Canadian culture. And that's a sad thing. So what you've got here is an area of the country where, because of all the Human Rights Commission rules that keep changing, and because of all the new groups that come in, the laws and the rules change, and no one knows when they've changed. So everybody's walking on eggshells out here, whereas in Alberta, you know, people are polite. Nobody's cruel on a deliberate level, but they still say what's on their mind a whole lot more than they do here. And that, to me, is a huge breath of fresh air. Because I'm tired of talking to people that are essentially pussyfooting around the truth, and I don't want to have that happen. You know? We know how softly kittens walk on the ground. I'd like to hear the elephant stomp so I know where I'm standing.
Well, yeah, and you know, I'm really going to promote you as mayor-elect now of Calgary because I believe that's what's going to happen. I'm praying that happens, Kevin, because we really do need to take the power back at the local levels.
And we certainly do. And you know, here's the funny thing, Barry, is We're writing up all of our mayor campaign slogans and whatnot, and every single slogan that you can come up with has already been used somewhere. You know, I obviously want to bring jobs back, and I certainly would like to have people understand that I am on a crusade, not against Islam, but I'm on a crusade against corruption, and I'm asking people to join the crusade against corruption. Let's save that city. But then we started thinking about the number of left-wingers that were catching on to the fact that I was running for mayor. I am running for mayor of Calgary. And they began their hardcore fundamentalist leftist attacks. And we have 11 months to go. And I'm already enduring insults and death threats and all the stupid nonsense that comes with it. The slander has already begun. So we figured, all right, if they're going to begin this early, let's upset them immensely. Let's not say Kevin J. Johnston for mayor of Calgary. Let's just say Calgary mayor-elect Kevin J. Johnston. And the left is already just seething. You know, they are boiling over with this. And good for them.
I love it. I love it. Well, if Joe Biden can do it, you can do it, Kevin.
Absolutely. Because
he is not president-elect of the United States.
The term doesn't mean anything. There's no such thing as a mayor-elect or an any-elect position in this country. That's an American term. In fact, that's more of a electoral college term. And there's no other country in the world aside from the USA that utilizes the electoral college. So that term does belong to them. But nonetheless, I know how to get under the skin of everybody on the left. It's quite easy to do. And I just happen to be better at it than most. But I'll say this. I don't want to talk about the negative side of things. What I want to talk about is just how positive the reception that I had in Calgary has been right from the get-go. Calgarians are absolutely fed up with being broke, and they're fed up with being lied to about COVID, and they're fed up with being lied to about property tax and about commerce and about the oil fields. And everything that's being told to them are lies. Mm-hmm. And then I come out there and I start telling people the truth. And I tell everyone the same thing. You can ask me any question you want, and I'm going to answer it. And if I don't know the answer, I promise you an answer within a week. And that's just how I do things. I'll do the research that's necessary and then get you an answer. So I have had, I'd say, 150-plus conversations just in the last 3 days alone. And everyone wants to ask questions. Most of them are the same. But, you know, people are trying their best to stump me, which I appreciate. And you can't stump me because I know what I'm talking about. And I've got a strong desire, passion to get away from Toronto, get away from Southern Ontario, get away from Ontario itself. I mean, it's a sinking ship. And in fact, if Ontario was the Titanic in the midst of sinking, the bow has already broken in half. It's going down. And it's going down faster than the rest of the country because every leftist in North America seems to have set up shop in Southern Ontario.
Well, that's not my crowd. Well, combine that with every illegal immigrant that crosses the border. Where are they heading, Kevin? Toronto.
They get off the plane. Lester B. Pearson International Airport is completely enclosed within my hometown of Mississauga. So they land in Mississauga and they hit one of three areas of the country, which is Mississauga, the city due north, which is Brampton, or Etobicoke, which is the far west side of Toronto. That's it. That's where they go. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, we have watered down our culture completely, and we've allowed a lot of very violent gangs to arrive from Ethiopia, the Sudan, and Somalia, along with other parts of the Middle East. And now we've got problems with Mexican gangs in Mississauga because they get off the plane and they'll break into houses here, and they know that if the cops arrest them, they're going to be released the same day and just put on a plane getting away with the crime. And the taxpayers are paying for it. And they all know this. So we have what they call tourist criminals showing up in Mississauga and Toronto, coming here and stealing from Canadians. And Canadians are putting up with it, or at least Southern Ontarians are. Albertans will shoot you, which they should. Ontarians will open the door and say, yeah, come on in. You know, you can have the TV. Just leave me a coffee mug if you could, please. Okay, you can have the mug too.
let me read you some poetry. It's sad, isn't it, Kevin? It really is. You know, I grew up in Toronto, Kevin.
Yeah.
And, you know, my younger years of my life up until the time I was 19 is when I left Ontario and came out west. But, you know, my memories of Toronto when I grew up were just phenomenal. City, man. Safe to go. My parents, they let me go down to the exhibition, you know, by ourselves when we were 10, 11, 12 years old. They had no fear. But, boy, has it ever gone down the tubes. And what do you expect when you have the amount of people that are coming to Toronto every year through legal immigration, through illegal immigration, through the workers' programs, through student programs, they're congregating in the Toronto area. And the culture, like you said, has been absolutely destroyed. Are we ever going to be able to get it back? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But the way it looks right now, I think you're right. We're on the Titanic and it's going down quick.
Will we ever be able to get it back? It's certainly never going to be what it was in its heyday. The big thing with Ontario, Southern Ontario, Toronto, Mississauga, Brampton, Niagara Falls, Ottawa, these cities were undeniably remarkable places to be in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Now, of course, I have no recollection of the 60s, but having grown up in the 70s and the 80s, I had a blast everywhere I went. Things mm-hmm. were clean. People were nice, talkative. Yep. Everyone's opinion was allowed.
Yep.
And the Canadian culture was everywhere.
That's
and
right.
We would actually shun those who refused to partake in our culture. Well, now what we have here is Mississauga is 1.1 million people. Although the official census says 780,000, we've got 250,000 illegals here, eroding our culture, stealing from us, and committing heinous acts of violence that the police are instructed to cover up by Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie and Brampton Mayor, Patrick Brown.
Patrick Brown.
Oh, and John Tory in Toronto. They're covering everything up, and the police have no choice. If they want to keep their jobs and their pensions, they do what they're told. In Southern Ontario, it has become absolutely so unrecognizable as a Canadian place. There's so little Canadiana here, that I got to go. And I've chosen Calgary because it's truly the last major conservative city left in the country. There are many conservative rural towns and cities, so I'm not taking that away from anybody. But as far as large metropolitan centers go, Calgary is the only conservative one left. That is where I belong. And being there for 8 days straight and having such a warm reception from everybody there, I know that Calgary is my home. Mississauga is not my home. So essentially, I'm back in Mississauga now. I'm packing my stuff. I'm selling what I don't need, and I'm going back to Calgary. And when I get there, I'm a Calgarian permanently.
Well, you got a house out there already, I hear, so that's good. And
yeah, I landed a really beautiful place. I landed a 1905 pre-World War I home.
What part of Calgary?
I'm in the southeast.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I know Calgary,
I'm not giving you the address. Not
no, I don't want it. I don't want it. Only when I come for Christmas dinner, because I think I might just take you up on that, Kevin. Wouldn't that be cool? Get together with you and get Pat King down, and get a few other guys like Gear and Volrath and all the other people I know in Alberta to converge and have a Christmas dinner at Kevin Johnson's house. You don't mind if I do that, do you, Kevin? Oh, I already put out the invite.
I would encourage it. I would absolutely. We'll make it a big potluck Christmas dinner. You count me in for that. But here, look. Let me tell you what I did while I was there. I landed on Friday the 13th, and I got a chance to finally meet Calgary comedian Rio Aiello. This guy, he is just an amazing human being. Let me tell you. I mean, as far as people go, this man would give you the shirt off his back if it was his last shirt. So we got a chance to finally meet in person. I consider him a very good friend of mine, even though I never met him in person until Friday of last week. And then we decided to, you know, just check out the town. We had dinner at Calgary Tower. The meal was fantastic. Hung around downtown Calgary as much as we could on the Friday and Saturday. And then I shot up to Edmonton because I wanted to see what the general consensus was with people, with business, and with this mask nonsense. Had a chance to tour the downtown core of Edmonton for the entire day on Sunday and the Monday. And I went to the hospital that was there. Empty. People are wearing masks, but no one was actually whining about masks. Nobody told us to get out of their stores. And the hospital is empty. I'd say less than 30% capacity. So I'm thinking, all right, this is the same as Mississauga and Toronto. The hospitals are empty. There's no military vehicles outside. There's no nothing. They're just empty hospital.
Right.
Decided to go over with my son to West Edmonton Mall. Walked the mall. A few people were not wearing masks, but everybody was wearing masks pretty much. And we did all the fun stuff inside. You know, I walk around the pirate ship there. For those who have not been to West Edmonton Mall, this thing is it's a mall built in the 80s that's literally, not figuratively, literally 1 mile long.
Yep.
And on the inside of it, there's so many awesome things to do. So we hit the water park, which was opened for half a day, not the full day. And then we hit the new indoor go-kart track they've got, which I highly recommend. It's fabulous. And then, you know, just visited people, talked to people, talked to store owners, and they're all saying the same thing, that they're happy to see the mall's got people in it, but nobody's buying because everyone's afraid. You know, the economy really is hurting there. People in Edmonton are suffering greatly. We then decided to get down to Red Deer and talk to some people, and the same thing's going on. People there are just absolutely suffering because of this mask nonsense. Getting back to Calgary, we decided at that point to go and check out Banff and Lake Louise. And in Banff, it's highly militant. The police are there, not bylaw officers, the police, the RCMP are there telling you that you have to wear a mask. So I didn't bother going into any business there, but I did instead talk to a lot of people. Now, this is what gets on my nerves, is people walking around Banff were telling me that, oh, my Lord, did you hear about Edmonton? There's so many cases there that the hospital is at 130% capacity. I said, no, they're not. I just came from Edmonton. They're empty. You've been lied to. So I had a group of people, I'd say almost 20 people, listening to what I was saying about COVID being a complete lie, about masks being a complete farce, the deliberate shutting down of the economy by the powers that be. And when I told them about the World Health Organization, the guy who's in charge now, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, I said, look, this guy here is the one that's essentially writing the bylaws for you. This guy is a warlord who's a member of the Tigray People's Liberation Front who murdered, was part of the murder of 2 million Amhara black Ethiopians. So why are you taking lessons on morality from that man? Take the mask off. But they're all so afraid of a ticket that they're leaving it on and supporting the bylaws of an African warlord.
Well, you know, most people don't look into who actually is behind the World Health Organization, how the Chinese Communist Party are involved, how they were major influence in getting – I cannot pronounce his name, Kevin, so I'm not even going to try. But
Ghebreyesus. The last name is Ghebreyesus.
Ghebreyesus. Okay, I'll try that a couple
first
times.
First name is Tedros. If you just say Tedros, everyone knows who you are because in Ethiopia they have more of an emphasis on their first names than their last names.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't there a warrant out for his arrest in Ethiopia?
Not in Ethiopia, no. But there is a warrant because under Human Rights Watch, there were warrants placed for his arrest in several African nations. So my understanding is there's three African nations. But look, the Americans have him on the watch list. The Tigray People's Liberation Front, that he is the sixth highest ranking member of, are listed as a terror organization by the USA and also by terrorwatch.org. These guys are pretty serious about keeping their eye on people like him.
Right. Say the name of that organization again for people to hear, Kevin.
The organization is called the Tigray People's Liberation Front. That's the terror group that he's a member of. They represent 6% of the population of Ethiopia. Now, not all Tigray people are members of this thing, okay? So I'm not going to sit there and tell you the Tigrays are responsible. The Tigray People's Liberation Front is the private army they've assembled. That's the terror group.
Okay.
Now, that terror group, what they've been doing since 1968 is putting out loads upon loads of propaganda stating that Tigray Ethiopians are the superior race to the Amhara Ethiopians. Now, we've heard that kind of propaganda before, haven't we? We know that they picked that up from the Germans, Nazi Germany, World War II. Right. So when you've got that level of hatred by 6% of the population against more than 90% of the population, there's bound to be trouble. And this guy, he's trained. He knows how to fight with knives and with swords and grenades and machine guns. He's killed many Amhara people. And that is who the World Health Organization appointed as their new director.
And, of course, Tariq Tatam has taken her directions from him and the World Health Organization. So what do we got, Kevin? You don't need an army to defeat a country, do you?
No, you really don't. You just need a whole lot of propaganda. And regrettably, you need a lot of useful idiots like Antifa types and Black Lives Matter types to tell the world that you and me are wrong for pointing this information out.
Yeah, and the attack we see going on free speech now, Kevin, is just right off the charts. I mean, all the conservative voices on social medias are being silenced and taken away. And people like Dan Dix and Amazing Polly and Frank Vaughn and all these other really, really good people, Mark Fries, another example, are having their accounts just disappear. You know, Dan Dix had 26,000 videos out there and they disappeared overnight. Boy, are we in a communist coup, man. People better wake up to it, Kevin, real quick.
Yeah, well, listen, here's what I pray for. I mean, Trump still has at least three cards he can play to keep the presidency. And if he does, it's been leaked that there's more than 200,000 indictments that he's going to be releasing. There's going to be a lot of arrests taking place in the United States and across the world. I'm pretty sure Trudeau is one of them. I think Bob Rae, the former premier of Ontario, Bob Rae is one of them. We certainly know that Ikra Khalid is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the Canadian side of it. And then there's going to be all the Americans that that are going to be in there. I'm hoping one of those indictments is Zuckerberg from Facebook. And I'd like to see Google and I'd like to see Twitter go down too. Believe me.
Well, they all need to go down because they're all part and parcel. I mean, this is widespread. And, you know, but really, Kevin, when you look at it, it's only a very, very small group of people that are controlling all this information that we see. They control the media. They control the journalism. We don't get information through mainstream. That's the biggest enemy of the people right now, bar none. If anybody needs to really be hung for what's going on right now, it's mainstream media. media, because what's going on in the streets right now is just a disgrace, Kevin. It's absolutely, they're just outright telling blackface lies to the American people. It's beyond anything I thought I'd ever see. But the information coming out now about this election, and I've been watching it very closely here for the last week, the last 2 weeks I've been watching it. I believe you're going to see Trump inaugurated. I have no doubt about that at all. But the turmoil that's going to create in the states is something that I think we should talk about, because there will be turmoil when this is announced. And they're preparing for it.
Yeah, well, okay, let's cover the turmoil in the American election. Here's what's going to happen. Trump, when he's sworn back in on January 21st, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the leftists will riot. They just will. Mm-hmm. The Democrats will continue to fund those riots. We know that they will. And I don't want to say George Soros, because it's kind of the go-to name for everybody, but it's not just him. It's people like him as well. There's a lot of money being dumped into this level of destruction, all to get Trump out of office, because he truly is in their way. But if Biden takes office in January, the left is still going to riot because, hey, why not? Biden's not going to stop them. And what will happen here is they're going to start to move into the Republican neighborhoods, the conservative neighborhoods, and causing turmoil, and the conservatives / Republicans are going to fight back. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who takes office. The left is going to riot. And I'm going to back that up with a historical point that's quite recent. If we all remember Rodney King, who was a criminal, he was trying to escape police in Los Angeles. Now, when the cops finally stopped him and dragged him out of his car, they beat him. I think it was 54 strikes between kicks, punches, and nightclub hits. And it was caught on camera by someone who just happened to have one of those big VHS cameras on their shoulder at the time. Mm-hmm. Now, I do not condone what the cops did. You know, arrest him legally, take him in, and let the process work. I also do not condone Rodney King. He was a criminal. Both parties were wrong. But when the cops were charged and found not guilty, all of the poorer neighborhoods in Los Angeles decided to riot. And what they were doing was burning down their own apartment buildings as part of the protest. So to save face, to try to save the city, they put those two cops back on trial, citing a mistrial, put them back on trial. Now, here's where it gets stupid, is the media back then was still kind of centrist. So they were asking left-wing black and Hispanic gangs and people like them, saying, will you riot if these cops are found not guilty? Yes. Will you riot if these cops are found guilty? Yes. So we are dealing with a very limited mentality when we are talking about the left, and we're talking about people who wish to cause havoc for the sake of causing havoc. The left is going to riot. The United States is going to be in trouble for 6 months, no matter who wins, period.
Yeah, we got a front row seat, don't we, Kevin? Get your popcorn.
We do, but if our politicians in Canada think that stuff's not going to spill over to here, they are sorely mistaken. You politicians in this country have deliberately taken away just about everybody's livelihood. And it's getting to the point now where there's a lot of Canadians who are running businesses. They jump onto CBC and CTV and CFTO, CHCH, and they're whining, saying, oh, you know, look at me. I'm losing my business. And okay, I get it. They're upset. And they're not alone. But they're not doing anything to fight it. That's the problem right now. Because they still have the establishment. Even though there's no customers inside, they still have the establishment. But when they lose the establishment, when they lose their lease, when they lose their houses, now what you're doing is you're putting everybody in the position where they've got nothing to lose. Never, if you're trying to defeat someone, put them in the position where they've got nothing to lose. Mm. Desperate men do desperate things in desperate times. Always remember that. So when all the riots are taking place there, everybody here who have lost everything, they're going to riot too. So you're not immune, Canada. Front row seat, yeah, for a couple of weeks, but get ready. It's coming here too, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you, Kevin, that that out of chaos always comes control. We've got to remember that. And what we see right now I believe it was just a giant psyops being played on people. We are going to see riots. I agree with you on that point. What the end game will be when it's all over, I hope that law and order is restored, that things really don't get crazy to the point where you have a complete breakdown of society in the United States of America. And another thing that kind of concerns me is if we have a war of that magnitude in the United States of America, what an ideal time for an enemy to perpetrate an agenda on the United States when they've got their pants down. What do you think?
Huh. Well, that's the idea. Why do you think China did this in the first place?
Well, I'm putting it out there because I know you were going to say, but go ahead.
why did you think? let's stop and think about this for a minute. And I want everyone to use logic and reason here. And I want you to bear with me. Don't roll your eyes until I've said the whole thing. Wuhan in China was kind of like Vegas. It was a place where there was a lot of good times, a lot of nightclubs, a lot of sex clubs, a lot of really good parties, a lot of really good sports programs for kids and families, a lot of markets everywhere. It was becoming a hardcore, free market, entrepreneurial, spirited city. The Chinese government understands that that particular type of thinking of people is dangerous to them because communism only lasts when the people are subdued at all times. Once you get a free thinking area in the country, that's the area that starts the revolution. How do you quell that much happiness? Well, you set up a crisis. But you have to make it a crisis that's not just local. It has to be a crisis that everybody around the world is going to pay attention to. What do? You hire crisis actors. You put them in masks. You pay them to fall over. And then you make a whole bunch of arrests left, right, and center of people that are successful in business. You take all of their stuff from them. You disappear some of them, like permanently disappear them. And all of a sudden now the whole planet believes that there is some kind of a crisis in Wuhan. And now the same crisis is worldwide. It is that easy to trick everybody into thinking there's a big problem that's going to affect mm-hmm. their personal lives. And no one reasons out for themselves that, you know, in Canada, we're probably about, what, 10,000 kilometers from 9,000, 10,000 kilometers from that particular hotspot. It's not coming to Banff. It's not coming to Edmonton. It's not coming to Uranium City. It's not coming to Churchill, Manitoba. This disease is just not coming there, period, if it was a disease in the first place. So China now has the entire world in lockdown, the entire world in panic mode. You've got white countries, specifically white countries, cooperating to the maximum capacity that they possibly can. Mm-hmm. Probably because they don't want to be called racist by some random Chinese guy, maybe. So yes, with the Americans fighting each other and with Canadians being broke and arguing with each other, not fighting each other, but arguing with each other. Yeah. What's stopping the Chinese government from putting a whole bunch of soldiers in the Aleutian Islands in Alaska and walking right into Juneau and Anchorage and then taking over whatever oil fields they think they might get their hands on? Yeah. Will the American government, when it's trying to quell internal strife, be able to mount a defense against that that doesn't lead to some type of tactical nuclear exchange?
Yeah.
You know, because exactly. If China's going to be that brazen and put soldiers on American soil, the nuclear option is now available, but nobody wants to use it because, you know, you use it, then he uses it, then she uses it, and we might have 20, 30 nukes going off. That's enough to shut everything down for 20 years.
It is.
It is. So China is – they've played this expertly, and only people like yourself and myself and those who are listening to what we have to say are actually comprehending this, and we need more comprehension than we have now.
Yep, you're right. The last thing we ever want to see on this world is a nuclear exchange, Kevin, because, there ain't going to be no survivors, folks. And if you do survive for the short period of time after the exchange, you'll have wished that the bomb had gone over top of your head and you're out of here, because I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But it's a real possibility. It is, because you've got maniacs in the world that are willing to push the buttons. That scares the crap out of me, Kevin.
Yeah, more you see, Donald Trump. Yeah, right. Donald Trump is not willing to push the buttons. Joe Biden is. And now we've got this crazy thought process in the United States that orange man bad and pervert man good. Well, America, you're about to get a taste of what we have in Canada. You're about to get a taste of dictatorship-style politics. You're about to get a taste of minor despotism. You're about to lose a whole lot of your freedoms, and you're not going to like it. Because I'm telling you this right now, as a free-thinking man, I don't like where Canada's gone at all.
Well, Canada, what can I say about Canada? We have people that just are refusing to look at the reality of what's going on around them, Kevin. That's what scares me. All these people walking around with masks. I thought we were supposed to be intelligent species. I thought we were supposed to be able to think for ourselves. But then really what we look at now in society is basically a zombie apocalypse. You know, they brought that movie out, and I've talked about it many times. What, about 15, 18 years ago, they released that movie, and everybody laughed. You know, this is entertainment. Well, what they were showing us was what's coming in the future. And right now, we're only one vaccination away from that possibility in society. This vaccine they're going to try and push on society terrifies me. It terrifies a lot of people, Kevin. What do you think is going to happen with that when they try and mandate it?
Well,
because they're going to
people
try
are
going to
drop dead. They're going to drop dead. First off, people, they'll line up for it. Right? They will willingly put this stuff in their body. We saw that with swine flu and SARS. People lined up for a vaccine that somehow miraculously was completely invented and cleared human trial testing in what, 5 or 6 weeks? And they willingly got that stuff injected into them. It'll be the same thing with this particular vaccine. And nobody ever looks at vaccines from a logical standpoint. And here, let me add some logic to it. After World War I, when it was made very abundantly clear that chemical and biological warfare was going to be a complete reality. We were not thinking about nuclear power after World War I. We were thinking about toxins and poisons and essentially venom is what we were worried about. So these vaccines that we created to wipe out diseases was to keep the population alive in case the Germans did win. You had to have enough of a fighting force to be able to secure your nation, to protect your nation. Vaccines were invented to keep your population war ready. So that was the right reason to create them, honestly. Even though war wastes energy, as they say, that's still the right reason to create a vaccine. These new vaccines in the last 10 years have nothing to do with keeping the population safe. They're everything to do with making money. And they don't care who dies as a result. My understanding is there are now 100 people that have died in Brazil on human test trials. Absolutely repugnant. What we have here is people who are taking these vaccines who have allergic reactions are getting blood blisters all over their skin that are more than 3 inches in diameter. And when these things burst, it's a combination of blood and pus. These are weird skin eruptions that the medical community has never seen before, because whatever this particular vaccine is, it is so new that we are actually with vaccines creating new diseases. And that terrifies me.
It does. Vaccines are insanity as far as I'm concerned. And something I have talked about on my shows for years. I'm lucky to have Roger Landry come in on my shows quite a bit. And we've had some incredible conversations about that. Vaccines over the years. And to me, it's genocide being played out on the human being. We look at the state of the human health today as opposed to people 50, 60 years ago, Kevin. And we look at the state of our immune system and why our immune systems are so weak. Well, look at what we're eating. We're being sprayed like rats. We're eating genetically modified food. We're being vaccinated to death. We're drinking fluoride in our water. And you wonder why North America now are the sickest people in the world. And we are. And yet we spend 10 times as much on healthcare as the next closest country. This is a planned agenda to bring people to a point where they're so weak that they can't think. And boy, I'll tell you, if you think your immune system doesn't connect to your brain, boy, I got something to tell you, because it does. It affects your body. When your immune system is compromised, and your immune function mostly is in your stomach, we know that. When that's compromised, boy, the rest of your body just goes completely out of whack. And what do we see in society today, Kevin? Zombies that can't think for themselves. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you are absolutely correct to say that. And you want to talk about zombieism. About 3 hours ago, it was brought to my attention that the restaurant that I chose to go to with Pat King, Derek Story, Wayne Peters, Pastor Archer, Dawid Pawlowski. There was a bunch of us there. I mean, a lot of YouTubers and a lot of conservative media. 11 of us got together for beverages and a meal. And as the staff there are pressuring us to put masks on, we all just said, look, we're not going to wear them. We don't have to wear them. If you like, we can explain the bylaw to you. Everybody was really polite. But after we left, it turns out that the staff there have decided, like millennials do, who did not like the fact that we would not comply with them and their mask rhetoric, have decided to put out this six-page diatribe about how horrible a human being I am and how horrible a human being that Pat King is and a few of the others that we were with. And then, of course, they're getting the left-wingers reacting, saying, oh, he's been charged with hate crimes. Kevin J. Johnson's a racist. He's a this. They're just parroting everything they're reading on CBC and Toronto Star and a few others. I'm just trying to think here. You know, the level of brainwashedness is such that staff members of a restaurant that made $500 off of us are now going to get on social media and tell the whole world how much they hate us. That everybody's behavior has been affected by the notion of this fake pandemic, by the notion of bylaws that have come out telling you what to do. It's really weird. You should read this stuff. In fact, I'm going to screenshot everything. I'm going to give the restaurant owner a call and just say, look, I'm not angry, but you might want to let your staff know that it's not really a good idea to, first off, swear. We were sworn at by the staff. It's not a good idea to swear at your customers, and it's not a good idea to then bash your customers in the public forum on social media where a whole bunch of other millennials who are not your customers are going to then start agreeing with it and making your restaurant look worse and worse and worse. We have a real problem in North America right now, the Western world in general, with the fact that we no longer value hard work. We no longer value Christian idealism and Judeo-Christian values. We no longer value manners. Good manners are gone. Privacy is gone. Millennials, they let everybody in the world know what they're up to. You know, if you ever look at some of the millennials out there, for example, who are always insulting me, they'll insult me, and in the very next tweet, they'll make it public that their boyfriend won't sleep with them or they're having an argument with their ex-wife. Yeah, it's weird, man.
I know. It's weird.
It's really strange.
People's brains are gone, Kevin.
It's done.
They are.
Well, yeah, you know, everything has to be social media.
We've got this huge toxic supply in our body. We've got all these chemicals in our body, and now we're throwing chaos into the mix. And boy, these chemicals, they're all just freaking out. And I see it. I mean, the other day in Tim Horton drive-thru, a guy literally beat the crap out of a guy simply because the guy got in line, he thought, in front of him, over a coffee. He got out of his vehicle and beat the crap out of a guy. And I wish at that point, I wish I'd have been there because I would have intervened, of course. But people watched this go down and nobody got out of the vehicles to stop this beating. What's happening here, Kevin? You're right. We are in bizarre world right now. We really are. And why that's happening? Because of what's happened to people, because of lockdowns, because of this bullcrap agenda that's being played out on us and the effect it's having on people's morality, on suicides in Canada are right off the scales. Domestic violence is right off the charts. You never hear any of this talked about on mainstream, Kevin. Why? Why?
Well, because the mainstream media has been bought and paid for. $600 million given to you by the government to tell government lies will certainly sway people to tell government lies. What more can we do here? So look, we are fighting this massive uphill battle. We're fighting these crazy millennials who are far leftists, but they don't even know why. They're parroting all the catchphrases out there like – you're racist and you're ignorant and you're homophobic and you're transphobic and you're this. It's ridiculous. And then here, let me read a comment to you right now. This is one that I just received from that same from the waitress who's supposed to be a customer service expert. Check this out, man. Like, get out of Calgary, you ignorant, horrific human being. I could care less about your racist and anti-mask values, but the way you treat people trying to simply do their job without being dumped on is the most ridiculous behavior I have ever heard of. You are not untouchable, and I cannot wait for you to get what's coming to you one day. Okay, so what I have to say here is that this particular individual asked us to wear masks, and each person that we were with, there was 11 of us, we all said we would prefer not to. That's it, as per the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and as per the Alberta Human Rights Commission and as per the bylaw itself. We would just prefer not to wear masks. I'll tell you this. I would never hang out with anybody who's rude. I don't hang out with people that deliberately insult others. I wouldn't do it. And as a witness to the activity of me and 10 other people, the only reason this girl would be upset is because she wanted us to comply with her fear, and we are not as afraid as she is. So she lashes out in this way. So look, I'm not angry about it, because this is what millennials do because they've been conditioned to lash out. If you don't get your way, you stomp your feet and you pout and you scream and then you vent and you throw false accusations against people on social media because, you know, quote unquote, there will never be consequences. You know, that's how they think. But if I was to turn around and file a defamation lawsuit against the bar for this, I would most likely win. I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying that I have that right to do so. Instead, I'm going to play the right card. I'm going to be an adult about it. And I'm going to give a phone call to the bar owner saying, look, if we did something that really bothered your staff, I will apologize. But I'd like you to understand that there are two sides to the story. Here's mine. Can we come to an agreement? Not an apology. I don't want an apology. Just an understanding, a conversation that doesn't involve being shouted at on social media where a whole bunch of people now are calling me racist and other names. Now, I've been called everything under the sun, so the names don't bother me. But what does bother me is that Calgary is now experiencing exactly the same level of vitriol and hatred that Toronto has. I don't want that for Calgary. Believe me, I do not want that particular left-wing ideology to reign supreme there.
Wow. Well, time to nip it in the bud, isn't it, Kevin?
It is. And I always want to have the conversation. You know, one girl here, her name is Nikki Vi. She's just fired off a whole bunch of things at me here. Like, here's another comment she just made. What about these hate crimes, plural, you were charged with in Ontario, harassing Muslim women? What are you doing to them and why were you doing it? I'm 99.9% sure that you can't be mayor and have hate crime convictions. Let's follow this. First off, I have no convictions. Being charged with something does not mean you are guilty of it. I was charged with willful promotion of hatred, Section 319, Subsection 2, by Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, right, because she did not want to have to run against me in the 2018 election. She did not want to have to debate me because I thoroughly crushed her in debate 5 times in 2014. This is how dirty politics have become. Now, this person here has just decided to say hate crimes. They always say plural. And then she goes and makes up her own part of it, saying harassing Muslim women. What you now need to do here is you need to read the public document of the actual arrest itself,
right,
which would show you that there was the only Muslim that had any complaint against me was, you'll love this one, Ikra Khalid, who is the one that wrote the motion M103 to essentially destroy Christian rights in Canada. That's the only one. So nobody has their facts right, and everyone's just going to make up their own lies now, their own left-wing tripe, to not have to debate me. This girl here, who's about 30 years of age, I said to her, look, if you have serious questions of me as your future mayor, we can do a live show like I'm doing with you right now, Barry, where it'll just be her and me on the show. The audience can watch and she can ask any question she wishes and I will answer them. I mean, what other politician would do that? Not a one.
Not a one.
So instead of taking me up on my offer, she throws this insult out there. Again, I'm not angry. And I'm not complaining about the insults. I'm just letting everybody know that this is the power of left-wing media. It's going to sway anybody with a left-wing idea in their head to speak like this openly, to throw out accusations that they can't back. And the worst part of it is that they believe these accusations that they are making.
Well, where's the Facebook fact checkers on that? Shouldn't they be interrupting or intervening?
No, they're not going to interrupt because they're all left-wing themselves. Facebook is a highly left-wing, highly Marxist. I know you're kidding. I know. But it's a highly Marxist left-wing dung pile. That's all it is. It's a dumpster fire.
So, okay, Kevin, I got a question for you here.
Yeah.
There is people that are living in terrorists right now that are listening to this show. And we're all livid about this new mass mandate for public places, not allowing people like me to go into a grocery store. I can't go into the gas station, can't go into coffee shops, can't do anything. What do people say? They want to walk in without a mask on. What is their legal stance right now? Maybe you could speak to that because they're asking
I'll speak
these questions.
To it right now. Okay, please, here we go. Because the bylaw, just so everyone knows, the bylaw, the original was written by the World Health Organization. It's a template. It was presented to the federal government of Canada, which was then downloaded to the individual premiers, which was then from there downloaded to every single city council. So city councils across Canada actually did not rewrite the Basque bylaw. They almost went verbatim, just about everybody. They would add a little bit here and there, but not much. In the mask bylaws, it states that you shall wear a mask. Now, right off the bat, they're done. Let me explain. The Justice Department of the federal government of the Dominion of Canada made it very clear that the word shall is never to be used in any form of lawmaking, policy writing, or in statute writing because it's an archaic word like balderdash and poppycock. These are older words that have such broad meanings because no one actually understands the word based on their age. Shall means optional. So you shall wear a mask. Okay, thank you for the offer. No, that's really what it boils down to. Every bylaw that I've read so far, with the exception of Edmonton, all use the word shall. Then they go on to say that any business owner shall put a sign out that says that visitors to that store shall wear a mask. Again, optional. They're using forbidden language to make it seem official. What that means here is that the cities have downloaded the responsibility and the liability to the individual shop owners who do not work for the city. I have to explain bylaws a little further here. Cities in Canada are not like cities in Europe and in the United States. They're not cities. They're corporations that act as tax collectors for the individual provinces, meaning that they've got their own bylaws that apply to the staff of those corporations, being city staff and people who choose to contract with the city. I've never signed a contract with the city of Mississauga, for example, nor Calgary, nor Edmonton. Ergo, the bylaws do not pertain to me, to you, Barry, to anybody listening, or to any store owner anywhere in Canada, period. You can choose to ignore them. People don't.
So
now, with go ahead.
I'll finish up my thought here.
Now, in the very same bylaws, they say you shall wear a mask, but there are exemptions. Almost every city in Canada has the same six exemptions, like children under two, people that can't use their arms to put a mask on, human beings who have an underlying medical condition. Now, if you've ever had a cough in the past, you have an underlying medical condition which forbids you from wearing a mask. If you've had a head injury, an arm injury, if you ever got a cut or a boo-boo, you have an underlying medical condition because the term underlying medical condition has no definition. This is where fancy language and bonus balonus comes in. Everyone thinks that those words mean something. They don't. So in the bylaw, you shall wear a mask if you wish. And if you're considering wearing one, also consider that there are six exemptions that would prevent you from wearing one if you choose not to. How does that sound? But then on top of that, the human rights commissions of every province also state that your creed is a factor for you not having to wear a mask. Your creed is your religion, your spirituality, your own personal philosophy on life. So my personal philosophy on life is, I'm not going to put something on my face because someone I don't know says so. All right, that's my creed. My creed is also my Christianity. I refuse to put the mark of the beast on my face from Revelation 16:13. Period. It's not 13:16. It's not going to happen. So you have all kinds of options to not have to put that nonsense on your face. My advice to everybody is don't wear it and just say medical and walk away. Because look, even in the Toronto airport, when I was assaulted by a left-wing nut job in Toronto airport when I was leaving for Calgary, who wanted me to wear a mask, and I argued, no, I'm not going to, and here's like 10 reasons why. I've got the video, and I'm going to release it shortly. When the police came over to take my report, they were both wearing masks, and they said, is there a reason why you're not wearing a mask? I said, yes, constable, medical. And the cops looked at me and said, okay, that's it. They accepted the answer. And we're talking boys with body armor and guns, and they said, okay. Whereas a lot of the female staff in Toronto Airport, and I don't know why women like to enforce rules like this, you're not wearing a mask, sir. Like, you know, I know I'm not wearing a mask. I'm the one who's not wearing the mask. I know. All right. But anyway, look, I want to say this. The bylaws do not pertain to anybody who does not work for any city in the country. They just don't. And even though they say you shall wear a mask, which is an option, they also give you six reasons why you can't or why you shouldn't. And so does the Human Rights Commission. Look, Barry, I got a book. Everyone go to kevinjjohnston.ca and buy a copy of my book. You can buy the ebook and the digital audiobook right now. This is all in there. I break down the bylaw sentence by sentence, and I also break down the Human Rights Commission's rulings on this sentence by sentence so you understand exactly what I'm talking about. The book is actually – it's hilarious, okay? I'm a former stand-up comedian, and I've been an investigative journalist for years. My writing style is hyper-cynical but also hyper-funny. You know, ask Doug Forrest. He was laughing his head off when I read a chapter to him. So I've made it as entertaining as I can, but it's so loaded with information on how to get around this mask nonsense that your mind is going to just go right. But on top of that, I cover the politics behind mask wearing. I cover the World Health Organization. I cover some of the politicians who are responsible for all of this craziness. And I cover how the human body actually fights diseases, viruses, phages, and bacteria. You know, using some pretty gross examples, typically of stomach flus and bowel inflammations and whatnot. But I put these extreme examples in there to show you that these are the top 10 diseases in the world, and you're going to survive.
Yeah.
You're going to survive. Now, I'll spoil this for you also, people. The flu itself, this novella coronavirus that they've attributed the term COVID-19 to, or they've also attributed the term SARS-CoV-2 to. Your odds of catching it – let me first off do this. Your odds of getting hit by lightning are 165,000. All right, so it's just not going to happen. Your odds of catching this COVID nonsense they're talking about, Barry, take a guess. What do you think the number is?
It's astronomical. I've heard the figure before, but give it to us again, Kevin.
All righty. 1 in 44 million.
Yeah.
And if you catch it, your chances of dying are 1 in 2 million. All right.
Well, I think we got to take over the CBC for a couple hours and get this information out to the Canadian people, because they're sure not hearing this, Kevin. And it is a travesty what's going on with media right now. They really need to be taken up and hung. You know, we're down, Kevin, we're down to 4 minutes here, believe it or not. And, you know, I know right now, without a doubt, I could carry on another hour of conversation with you, because there's things I wanted to talk to but we didn't even get a chance to get to. But I really like to take a minute here and tell people where they can reach you and how they can follow you and the platforms you are on. And I'll get your last thoughts. And unfortunately, buddy, I'm going to have to let you go.
Okay, look, I'll fly through it right now. I am Calgary Mayor-elect Kevin J. Johnston. All you got to do to get rid of Naheed Nenshi and get a semblance of normalcy back and say goodbye to masks and goodbye to COVID and goodbye to shutdowns is just put an X on my name in October of 2021 for Mayor of Calgary. If you want to donate to the cause or if you want to buy my books, Masks Are BS, and learn for yourself what's really going on, shoot over to Kevin J. Johnston with the T dot C-A. That's Kevin J. Johnston dot C-A. You'll find a lot of information there. I'm updating my website as we speak. I have on my about page all of my social media links, so I would suggest you follow me on all social media because once in a while they do shut me down on the mainstream stuff. I'm going to turn Calgary into a sanctuary city for legal gun owners. There'll be no more police raids on any gun shops or anybody's homes. It's going to be a free speech zone. We're not going to enforce anywhere in the city Section 319 of the Criminal Code, which stifles freedom of speech. And we're bringing jobs back like you wouldn't believe. We're going to drop taxes because that's what brings people and businesses into a city. We're going to have a great time. The Stampede is coming back, and under my watch, it'll be bigger than ever before. Calgary is going to go back to its 1980s heyday of being party central Canada, period. Kevin J. Johnston dot C-A.
Yahoo, Kevin, I can hardly wait.
Yeah!
Well, you know what, buddy? Really, there's never been a more important time, I believe, that we take the power back at municipal levels. And what you're doing right now, I applaud you for, and I urge other people to get involved with politics at a local level because we can stifle all this global agenda can be stifled if we take the power back at municipal levels. I've been made privy to a couple examples of that in Canada right now, Kevin, where local individuals have stood up against global movements and they cannot pass the referendums. And boy, I'll tell you, if the rest of Canada started getting involved at the local level, we would see major changes in our society. So I applaud what you're doing. And I hope that the people in Calgary embrace you fully. We really do need a stronghold in Western Canada right now to stop some of this madness. So I got to thank you again for joining me, Kevin. I always enjoy having conversations with you, and I look forward to our next one. So thanks for joining me today.
Oh, you know that I can't wait, Barry. I'm with bated breath. I cannot wait to be on the show again. I thank you for doing this. And Canada, keep this in mind. Do not lose faith. There are people like Barry and myself who will bring the truth to you. We can win this together.
We got to win this, Kevin. We got no choice, folks. We have no choice, period. It's do or die. Thanks again, Kevin. Really appreciate you coming in. Thanks, folks, for tuning in this week. Great conversations. I love talking with Alex Newman. I know I'm going to get him back here in about 2 weeks. And Doug Force is always great to talk to. I have Doug in on a regular basis now. And Kevin Johnson, what can I say? A real spark plug. And I wish we had 50,000 of you in Canada right now because we really need you. Thanks for joining me again, folks. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. God bless you all. Have a great week. I got great guests coming in next week, so I'll be back and looking forward to seeing you guys again. Thanks to Steve Roberts for producing my show and People's Internet Radio and Shake and Wake for providing these platforms. Bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.